This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you for the next 4 hours. We continue our big game coverage here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Coming up in a half hour, we'll go out to Philadelphia, talk with Eitan Shander of Fox 29. He also does great work over at Odd Shopper. We'll get their perspective on how the Eagles are feeling. How's the fan base feeling there? So we'll check in with Eitan coming up in a little bit. Also later on today, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, in the 11 o'clock hour.
It'll maybe be others. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know who else is going to stop by, but we're expected to hear from them. Plus, in the noon hour today, Nate Taylor, who's on the ground in New Orleans. And then we'll check back in with Dusty and Bob. You just heard Dusty speak 2 minutes ago.
They let Mike Florio on their show. Unbelievable.
He had some good stuff to say. I will play
did
a little
Andy
bit
retire
of it.
Yet? Well, wait, does he have breaking news about Andy's retirement?
Yeah, that's the best part, because we were already planning on talking about Clark Hunt's comments this morning to Bob and Dusty about Andy Reid for a fact coming back next year. And I was like, this is a disappointing day for Mike Florio. And they did ask Florio about Andy Reid retirement columns over the last 3 or 4 years. So we'll play that back at some point again today. But you guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Cody's branded up today. Ultimate branding, if you're watching on the video stream.
He's 96.5 The Fan.
He's got the 96.5 The Fan hat. He's got one of his sponsors.
Gann.
Do you have socks that have a different company on them today?
No.
What about your underwear? Is it sponsored today?
No sponsor of underwear.
This is the most branded up I've ever seen.
You know, the truth is, this was the closest hat available. I decided I was going to throw a hat on. It was the closest one available.
Fair enough.
And Gann gave me some gear.
There you go.
That I hadn't previously had. And they gave me some for you guys, too. So
that's very nice.
If you would like a hoodie or a quarter zip, those are available.
Nice.
Honestly, I might have more Gann apparel than I have 96.5 stuff.
Well,
regularly give me stuff over again. I could use a 96.5 polo or two.
I would like that. You're not wrong on that. But no, it's just funny. Who is it? Well, they give
Ricky
him,
Bobby.
Yeah, I was like, just branded up NASCAR driver. You just need something on the back as well. I don't know if there is something on the back. Anyway, let's get things started though here on a Tuesday. Hope everybody's having start to their day. Yeah, what's the
Creed is good. I don't think that counts.
That's all right. If it was like a Boulevard shirt, I'd be like, wow, just everything today.
I mean, but like Chiefs are the same as Boulevard. They're a company.
I know, but you get the point.
I support.
It's funny because
I support my company.
Branded hat, branded shirt. Anyway, the Eagles, this go around, are they better than the last time they faced? And therefore, are they the best team the Chiefs have faced during this run? I'm talking not just the three-peat portion, the entire dynasty. So go back to even the first year in Miami, and the Chiefs are taking on that time Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. Is this the best team they face? Because I think this Eagles team Sunday is a better team than the team the Chiefs faced 2 years ago and beat in Phoenix. Like, that part is true. I think that the debate to me is whether or not you think this 2024, now 2025 Eagles team is better than the Niners team from last year. Because I know when I say the two QB names, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, everybody's going to gravitate towards Jalen Hurts, understandably so. But I'll remind you how great Brock Purdy was playing a year ago. Like, I know the name's tough.
But I mean, he didn't start till like week nine or something,
but
man.
He's a rookie,
second year, whatever.
He was playing better football entering the postseason and the playoffs last year, Brock Purdy was, than Jalen Hurts was. Jalen Hurts is coming off his best game of the season, though. So that's my dilemma here. I actually think this Eagles team is probably better, but man, defensively, some of the names too. Fred Warner on the defensive side of the ball for them, coupled with running back wise, okay, McCaffrey and Barkley, given where they both were at, I would say almost equal based off of where they were entering. Not what McCaffrey was this year, he didn't play. But Barkley is having a career year. Christian McCaffrey, everybody was talking about him being an MVP candidate a year ago. Brock Purdy was
Saquon. I mean, just as good. I mean, so, he's having as big of a year.
So the question for me is more like, do you think that the defense is better in Philadelphia than the Niners defense from a year ago? And that's where I think the dilemma is.
So Philadelphia currently has the number one ranked points per game defense in the NFL. I assume later in this week, I will go ahead and supply you with the stats to let you know that when Patrick Mahomes faces the number one ranked defense in the NFL, it goes fine for him. Not as good for the defense, who was previously ranked number one. He is historically very good in those spots. I was trying to think through it. First, if it's including in the ones they lost, the answer is the Bucs. Because Tom Brady is not just the best quarterback in NFL history from a statistical standpoint. He is far superior to any other quarterback they have had to face.
Sure.
Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy, and Jalen Hurts are the three quarterbacks they have faced in a Super Bowl other than Tom Brady. Tom Brady is like...
That's also the only one they lost, so it's very easy. I'm with you. Like,
sure.
It's,
I also think that at that time, they had they had some really good defensive players all in their prime, all together at once. The receiving unit for that team, really deep in their prime, in their 20s. This isn't like an aging Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Those were guys who like had it. They still had Gronk on that squad, so they could get you a tight end. And they had one of the best offensive lines in the league. So that was a really difficult matchup. I think it's the second most. I actually think the Eagles team from 2 years ago was tougher than this one.
Really?
And I think we're rewriting history based on the fact that they won that game. That Eagles defense was better than this one. That Eagles defense had an all-time elite-level defensive line. And they weren't slouchy in the secondary either. That was an overall, the league's best defense. Everyone knew it was the league's best defense. And there were no real questions about it. The only argument I would say on the opposite is they're obviously better wide receiver.
Yeah, they're obviously
better at running back. And Jalen Hurts is presumably better because he's now been in the league a few years. So the defense for Philly's way better. The offense is better, but in a weird way, and this is where I guess I would give it to the edge a couple years ago. A couple of years ago, I felt like offensively, liked themselves more. It doesn't make any sense because Saquon, having confidence in the passing game to me existed more 2 years ago than it does now, even though they have A.J. Brown, because throwing for less yards per attempt. And Jalen I know Hurts some of that's because of Saquon. No,
well, Jalen Hurts has been hurt this year, too. He's missed a couple games. He hasn't been right. I think that's part of it. The Bucs won. Yeah, I guess I should have phrased it better. Out of the ones they won then, because, yes, I mean, it's also, you're saying not to cloud your judgment because they won. I would also say the Bucs team, while very, very good, the Chiefs' O-line was down to their third and fourth string.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was the
Don't
one.
Don't cloud it because they lost. Sure.
And they lost. So I think you're probably right. It probably works both ways for that. There's no doubt the Bucs, considering the quarterback, I'll hear on the quarterback argument, it's a no-brainer. Tom Brady, of course, was the best QB they faced.
That's the hardest thing to shake from a swing department.
And then people on the text line are factoring in the coaching aspect, too. And I know people are crapping on Kyle Shanahan for how he handled overtime, but still, as a play caller, best play caller they faced during the Super Bowl run.
And those are probably the best weapons.
I mean, that's pretty fair.
Debo, Christian McCaffrey, Kittle, the world's best left tackle. I mean, look, I'm not trying to knock down what they did, but it's Brock Purdy.
I know, but that's a name
thing.
And
it's Jimmy Garoppolo, and it's like...
But that's a name thing. Like, again, Brock Purdy at this time last year was playing better football than Jalen Hurts is currently. I'm not saying their career, who's going to be the better quarterback. I'm talking about just entering the Super Bowl, overall, who was playing better football. Brock Purdy was.
But I'll say, and I, obviously now I get the victory of hindsight, where I obviously got to watch... Sure. Brock Purdy be a starter for that good chunk of time. So he started the entire season for him. He had 4,200 yards, 31 touchdowns, 11 picks. He had a tremendous year going into the Super Bowl. And the year before, when he was a rookie, and he came in and eventually lost in the playoffs. He was pretty good. And he was like, his numbers are still probably on par as far as passing touchdowns and yardage as Jalen Hurts. I'm not saying it's like way off this year, but I don't. Like, I had doubts then too about Purdy because you're like, I mean, it's for me, it's the Shanahan part. So, like, if we're including coaching in this too, yeah, I think I could probably make
Kyle Shanahan's the best coach still of the group that they have faced during these runs.
Because this is the opposite. Is like, how much better do you think this team is versus any of the other ones they've been dragging into the Super Bowl? Last year, The difference is I knew the Chiefs had the league's best defense, Not just, So like, this year's defense is not as good as last year's. It's still good, really good, but it's not as good as last year's, but the offense is better. And then I just get into the same challenges where last year, when I look at what they were bringing to the Super Bowl from a weapons perspective, even if this is the best team they have faced in the Super Bowl, this overall team is better than last year's team. Last year's team took a really long time to find itself. This year's team did not do that. They won 15 games. They had one of the league's best defenses. They're significantly better on offense. I think people are just skewing this year's team because of all the one score win stuff.
Couple other people on the text line, 913-586-7965, saying, let's not forget Antonio Brown, part of that Bucs team. That was before he went off the deep end
It was loaded.
Yeah, it was a loaded team that the Chiefs ran into a buzzsaw in 2020, and then their own injuries, as we discussed. And that's part of still the scenario for this go around is the health of the team. How much healthier the Chiefs are entering this Super Bowl than they've been for really any of these other ones. We went back and looked yesterday, I remember, other than the 2019 Miami one in Miami, when Juan Thornhill was out, they were pretty healthy in that one when they beat the Niners the first go around. I still think this is the healthiest the Chiefs have ever been entering a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think so too.
And that's a huge deal considering how late in the season we are.
I went ahead and looked it up. Tom Brady finished with, and I did not remember this, 40 touchdowns and 12 interceptions that year and 4,700 yards. They had Godwin and Evans and Gronk and Antonio. You're like... And it was like the Devin White, Lavonte David, Shaquille Garrett, Ndamukong Suh. Yeah. I'm not like, other than Sue, I'm not saying it was like littered with Hall of Famers. It just happened to be like they had all these really, really good defensive players all at the absolute, like, other than Sue, probably peak of their careers, like the best time to have them. They're on their like mid-20s and just balling out. So I don't know. I mean, and it might be because they lost it. I know that I kind of lean towards that, but it's like. It feels like a run-of-the-mill one to me. Like, this year's team is not, like, the toughest. It's, like, third, second, I don't know. It's in the middle.
Last night was opening night down in New Orleans. You guys probably saw, if you haven't, check out our social media, specifically Instagram, 96.5 The Fan. Bob, Dusty Mack were there in New Orleans doing a great job. They had some content. I think they talked to Tech Nine, I saw. I saw Dusty had a photo with Pat Sajak's daughter as well. That is something we'll have to talk to Dusty about in the 1 o'clock hour today, for sure. But there were some highlights we wanted to bring you from that, including Clark Hunt. He was on with them this morning. We know the rumors every Super Bowl radio row. Mike Florio puts out a call of talking about retiring for Andy Reid, right? Andy Reid's retirement. This is what Clark Hunt said about Andy being back next year and beyond.
Yeah, I was always surprised when I heard those rumors because I know how much fun Andy's having. You know, he in a lot of ways, I think, is rejuvenated by the success the team's had. Certainly, you know, he's matched with the quarterback that's a perfect complement for him and Patrick. And I know he loves what he's doing. I'm glad we haven't heard any of those rumors this year. I know for a fact he's going to be back next year. So we'll get there when we get there. But I think Andy loves what he's doing. He's going to do it for a long time.
He knows for a fact Andy's going to be back next year. And then the guys.
For a fact.
Yeah, for a fact.
I don't know who'd be questioning that at this point, but okay.
Well, the guys had Mike Florio on about 20 minutes or so ago, and they asked him, hey, man, what's going on with this retirement stuff?
No offense. I'm glad you were wrong on that one. We get to keep Andy.
Let me clarify, because people believe clarify. What they want to believe, right. And they take whatever they hear, and they twist it into something other than what I actually said. The Chiefs were bracing for the possibility he was going to retire after last year's Super Bowl. That is 1,000% true. If that's even mathematically possible, and I know it's not, but they were bracing for the possibility he was going to retire. Now, was it a leverage play to get his contract fixed? Maybe it was. Maybe if they weren't going to fix that contract, he gets to a point where he says it's not worth it for whatever he was making before. He got his raise, and now he's locked in. He'll catch Bill Belichick if he can physically continue. He might catch Don Shula as long as it takes for him to get there. But, yeah, he's locked in, and he's still there. But as of last year, the Chiefs were bracing for the possibility because they were scoping out potential replacements. That's how I knew about it. They wanted to be ready in the event that Andy Reid walked away. That's 100% or 1,000% or 1,000,000% true. At the end of the day, he didn't. He got his contract. And now it's not even a question. It's not even a question whatsoever. He's going to continue.
So that's Florio's explanation of why he reported what he did last year and the year before.
Okay. All right.
By the way, we call that. Sorry, I'm moving my. I'm backtracking. I'm moving my chair back at the same time that Florio was talking. That's what it felt like to me.
Hey, we're 100% preparing. Were they?
Was there a single member of anyone in the front office that ever even pretended to take that serious? Who was the janitor?
Who was sussing out potential head coaching candidates? Was one dude's job in the building to have a five-year plan? Like, he's the five-year guy. Hey, Steve, we know you're the five-year guy. Hey, real quick, you're in the building. Go tell us what it'll look like to find a head coach in 5 years. Like, are you kidding? Like, I can't believe we're getting back into this again and having to do this. Now, look, he's not claiming that they're bracing internally for the possibility of
Andy. No, now he's flat out saying, things are good to go. Now he's saying that I just don't buy the contract leverage angle of it. Like, I don't think Andy Reid was threatening to retire to get a contract last year. a contract extension or a new deal. I just don't buy that. I'm not saying that people don't use leverage in contract negotiations. Of course they do. But I just don't buy that was why heading into the Super Bowl, Andy Reid had his agent busy floating out there that he might retire because he was worried that Clark Hunt was going to give him what he wanted. I just call complete BS on that.
Interesting. Interesting that Florio now would say that. And I just, again,
he was CYAing and backtracking. That's fine.
Why is it so hard to admit this every once in a while? He was wrong and someone gave him bad information. You know what happens? Sometimes when you're like an NFL reporter and you're given a source and all this other stuff, you're given bad information. Someone inside either, and I know this for a fact that teams have done this. Sometimes teams leak information to one person because they want to find out what they'll tell. Hey, man, don't tell anybody.
Well, they want to find out who the leak is. Yeah,
find out who the leak is or anything else in between. So maybe they told, again, Steve down in office 4 that they're kicking around the idea of letting Andy Reid go. Florio got it from that guy, and Veach is laughing because he's like, oh, got it. It's him that keeps feeding Florio this information that isn't telling the truth, because that's all it is.
Ugh.
I'm glad to hear Andy, though. Travis was talking about his retirement, too. His big retirement talk last night, you know?
At media night, he was asked, where does he see himself in 3 years?
Where will I be in 3 years? Oh, man, I don't know. Hopefully still playing football. I love doing this. I love coming into work every day. And, you know, I feel like I still got a lot of good football left in me. But we'll see what happens. I know I've been setting myself up for other opportunities in my life. And that's always been the goal, knowing that football only lasts for so long. You got to find a way to get into another career, into another, you know, profession. And I've been doing that in my off seasons. But for the most part, I plan on being a Kansas City Chief and playing football.
This sounds terrible. When he starts saying 3 years from now, I hope I'm a Kansas City Chief and still playing football, I honestly start worrying that, like, there's less of a chance he comes back. 3 years? He's not playing for three years, is he?
Does anybody think that? You know what I mean? Like, he's got a year left on his contract. This is different than when we're talking about Andy. This is a football player, and at some point we just know that the shelf life is shorter. I didn't take it that way. Though maybe the way you did, he's been open before discussing that. Like, he knows that he's on the back end of this thing and that there's not a ton of time left and that eventually he's going to have to do something else. He's said that publicly before. I didn't take it as something completely new.
3 years seems.
Well, the question was, where do you see yourself in 3 years? He didn't just come up with the 3 year thing. Someone threw that towards him. I didn't take a whole lot out of that. I think I'd be stunned if he's playing in 3 years just because of the contract situation. I think the debate here in Kansas City has been, is this his final game? I think most people recognize that if he's playing next year, that next year's it. right? Like, yeah. I don't think anybody believes he's playing 3 years from now.
If you guys did miss it, Clark Hunt had said that he thinks that Travis Kelce is enjoying it. And we'll
he said that with week, so, you listen for an interview. Bob and Dusty, they asked him about his future. That was something also that did come up. Absolutely.
Like, I'll just say, when you think about it, it makes sense for Travis to keep playing for the final year of his contract. He's a businessman, making business decisions. He's still a high-level tight end who's performing in the postseason. And I know up to this point, he has said that he doesn't care about records. I know that he is, you know, he's talked about it in his podcast. He's talked about it from the, you know, he chose gold not to go for the 13 yards to get the 1,000. He could have gone for another 80 yards again this year and tried to go for the 1,000 again if he wanted to in the final week of the season. But those Jerry Rice numbers have got to be a little different, don't they? Jerry Rice postseason numbers, and he needs one more postseason run, and he'll pass him for all of them. Yards, touchdowns, receptions, pretty much. I mean, he's already got receptions. And the other one, he's probably in that same boat. And so, yeah, I would just, I don't know. I don't like when he's like, 3 years, I hope I'm still playing football. I'm like, that now you just seems like you're lying to me.
Yes, I didn't take it that way as much because, again, the question he was asked was, where do you see yourself in 3 years? It wasn't if someone didn't say, how long do you think you can do this? And then he didn't just say, well, and you know, 3 years from now, I'm not sure. You know, that was the year he was given. So I didn't read too much into that. I'm with you, though, that next year, no matter what happens here, next year feels like it would be it. It's final year of the contract, the money that's on the line, the records that are on the line. The unknown thing that I don't think he even has an answer to yet is, what's the feeling like if you three-peat? And what's the feeling like if you have the disappointment of losing on Sunday? Does the loss motivate him even more to come back? Does the loss just tell him, all right, this is the end of the run? Does a win say, man, this is as good as it feels? Why keep going? Or
you're
does it say,
see
man,
how you feel at the
yeah,
end?
Or,
yeah,
or does it mean that, man, I can do this again? Why would I stop? Like, I don't think he maybe even knows like what that's going to feel like. I think it's going to, what's that like when the clock hits zero on Sunday night? And is it a celebration? Is it everybody being down? And how does that change his path? I really think he doesn't know yet. I honestly believe that.
I would think that, like, if you're a guy like Travis Kelce, why get into it just yet? And why try to source that just yet? We'll see. You know, one other weapon I saw last night, maybe they should go get Cooper Kupp. Problem solved, everybody. They need another possession-type weapon for the Chiefs. They'll just trade for Cooper Kupp, who, by the way, his statement clear, just as Luka's, his statement made it pretty clear. He had not requested or thought about being traded from the Rams, but instead they straight up told his ass, we're seeking a trade for you, so please prepare yourself accordingly.
Did you see Puka's tweet as well afterwards? He was like, I thought this was NBA trade season.
Yeah. No, man.
He
they're telling Cooper Kupp to kick rocks.
They are. And now they said they'll work with him on trying to find a destination. They're going to try to do right by him. But
he says he wants to compete. He wants like a winning team.
Yeah, of course. I mean, nobody wants to be traded to the Cleveland Browns or something like that.
My God, that's just mean. You can't do that to somebody.
It's interesting. You know, the offshore odds are out there, and Pittsburgh is the favorite offshore right now to land Cooper Kupp. We'll see. The issue with Kupp and the reason why the Rams are moving on, which one, they have Puka. The other part is, Cooper Kupp has struggled to stay healthy last 3 years. I mean, that's just a fact. He has missed at least 5 games, I think it is, the last 3 years. I think it was 8, 5, and then another 5 this year. So therefore, the numbers have been impacted. He could definitely help your team, but there's some durability questions at this point. And I think the Rams are a little sick of having to deal with that and navigate that throughout the season.
Yeah, and they fear they can just feed Puka. Look, this goes down to the same level, I would say, for Hollywood, as I was leery with that. I'm going to be leery of Hollywood again. Like I'd be leery of Cooper Kupp for the same reasons. If you can't be on a football field, I am concerned about your availability. You know, Hollywood Brown in the last 3 years has not played a full season. He has missed the same amount of games we're talking about, actually more, because this year he missed all but 2 games and is now playing in the Super Bowl. So great. He's healthy at the right time. But if I were a free agent team, I'd be like, all right, we're looking at Hollywood Brown. He can't be on a football field. So do we want to enter long-term? The problem with Cooper Kupp, where the I'd say it's kind of mixed. I would be interested in Cooper Kupp if he's willing to rework his contract, because he's actually not that expensive considering what wide receivers cost. And for Kansas City, the reason why it would be intriguing for me versus some of the other teams who I think will actually be a bigger player in this is they are paying nothing to wide receivers next year. So if there's a time to pay $20 million for a wide receiver, now's the time. Rashee Rice is free. Xavier Worthy is free. all the other receivers on their roster are free. So, like, if I'm going to pay a veteran, not a bad time to do it, but it would have to come at a significantly reduced cost, which is probably not going to happen for Cooper Kupp anyway.
I just struggle to see Brett Veach trading for a 31-year-old wide receiver. Yeah, and you'll be fair. Like, whoa, he just did that gold with DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, but the money and the compensation.
Gave him a fifth-round pick.
It's not the same thing. I just, are they going to really have that kind of dollar amount?
Historically, no.
And that's what would be surprising, you know, for this. The top landing spots offshore, Houston, okay. Pittsburgh. Those are the top two that are listed offshore, and then also the New England Patriots, which actually makes a lot of sense for New England. Drake May, young quarterback, they got cap space, they got a brand new head coach, they don't have a whole lot of weapons. Like, that'd be a nice piece if you're Drake May. Have a veteran that can really help you. That makes a lot of sense if they could put together a package to make that work. And I don't know if Cooper Kupp wants to go to New England, but they still will do right by him. It doesn't mean he gets ultimate say. It means that, hey, we'll try if this is a place you want to go to.
I don't know why he'd want to go. I mean, look, there are worse spots for Cooper Kupp. He is used to being, like, not at the mountaintop. He's obviously won a Super Bowl for them, but they are a contending team every year. They contend for the division. They contend in the playoffs. Things can happen for the Rams, a break here or two, and they can go that way.
There was rumblings for a while when the Rams were struggling at one point that they were going to trade him midseason. Remember, that was a thing
probably
for a bit. And they ended up going on a run and winning a playoff game, I guess it was. So yeah. In that regard, I guess it was good they held on to him. But our big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Up next, we'll get the Philly perspective on this Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. Eitan Shander from Fox 29 and Philly's going to join us. We'll ask him about this Eagles team compared to a couple years ago. Next.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
right, back here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in a second, we're going to head out to the Pheasant Fest Hotline, National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic, coming to the Kansas City Convention Center March 7th to the 9th. Visit pheasantfest.org. We're about also 15 minutes away from Roger Goodell's comments yesterday in regards to that 18th game. I don't know if fans even want an 18th game, but it sure sounds like that is in the works with the NFL and ultimately the NFLPA. We'll probably cave because that's typically how this thing works. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Chiefs. Let's go out and welcome in Eitan Shander from Fox 29 in Philly. He also does great work for Odd Shopper. Eitan, it's good to have you back on, man. You know, 2 years ago, I think we were talking to you, and the story after that was about holding calls, and it was about field conditions and all that. I hope we can all agree that let's just let the results stick for themselves on Sunday night, please, you know?
Well, while I will concede, fellas, and it's a pleasure always, and great to hear your voice, Cody, of course, and Alex, but let me just say this. You know, they're all playing on the same team, field, pardon me. So the conditions, I get it, but you will deal, and it's not my fault, and I can't do anything about it. No matter what, it is inevitable that there will be a call. Like, it doesn't matter if you believe in conspiracies or not. The fact is, the stone-cold truth is that there will be a call that goes Kansas City's way at some point in this football game, and that's going to open up the floodgates. I'm already preparing for it here because I can't deal with 6 months of off-season excuses of, oh, well, they had to beat the refs, they had to beat the refs again. Don't watch the football game if that's what you think. And I've told people that in Philadelphia, mind you.
Is Nick Sirianni more likely to go the D'Amico Ryans route where it's like, well, I told our guys we were screwed from the beginning, or, you know, the classier route, which is just, you know, sometimes things get out of your way.
I mean, I think he's best when he's getting out of the way, right? Like, I think that's truly where Nick Sirianni is at his height of being able to facilitate a winner in the NFL. When he's had to step in and coordinate, when he's had to step in, and even when he's lost, technically that's what happened, control of the offense and is now a game manager in its loosest sense, the more he gets involved, you know, calling a timeout, it can be a two-point conversion, it can be going forward on fourth down versus kicking it, you know, things that don't look like they're consistent. That's where I think he could get in trouble. And look, let's be honest here. As great as a record is, I mean, it makes me sick where people are now coming out and saying like, oh, well, you know, he and Andy Reid and, you know, Bill Belichick are the only three to do this. And it's just, it's ridiculous because it's not just putting out a stat. It's putting him in an area that he's just really not. I'll tell you what he is. He is a great friend of these players. He is a great connector of these players, and he has found out. And I think this is something special that not enough people bring up because they're too busy propping him up as the next Andy Reid or Bill Belichick. But one thing that Nick Sirianni does really well, guys, and I think maybe he took a page out of Pete Carroll, maybe he didn't, but he's able to relate and connect with people on an individual level on that team to where no matter who he's walking around in the locker room, he has a special relationship with that player. And maybe the argument is, yeah, well, because he doesn't have time to, you know, game plan and call all these. Whatever the case is, he's found that and he's tapped into that. And I think that's why you see these guys so loose and so excited to play for him.
We're talking to Eitan Shander, Fox 29 in Philly. All our guests brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. We were having a discussion earlier looking at the Chiefs' run in the last couple of years here, and where does this Eagles team stack up in terms of the toughest opponent? I'll ask you just on the Philly comparison from 2 years ago. Is this a better Eagles team than 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think the biggest reason is Vic Fangio, right? I mean, you guys looked over the other side of the field 2 years ago and you saw a couple of bozos. One of them, I think, was gone by then, right? I mean, think about this. Say this out loud. The Eagles ended a Super Bowl run with Matt Patricia as the defensive coordinator. And yeah, what chance did they have, right? It doesn't make any sense. Vic Fangio is heading to Canton, rightfully so. I mean, this guy is a master coordinator, and he's got a ridiculous defense, even better. And I hate to say it because nobody respects Steve Spagnuolo more than I do, that you will talk to, at least in Philadelphia or beyond, love Spags. But what Vic Fangio has done is just led, I think, at least ranked an overall better defense. So it's going to be 1-2. I know I'm splitting hairs here, but that's the biggest difference. I think we saw what happened from an offensive standpoint, right? Jalen Hurts in this offense can get hot. You guys know that. Saquon Barkley is probably the other answer. Maybe I buried the lead, but I think the defense is going to be the reason why the Eagles compete or even have a shot in this game, not necessarily Saquon. But Barkley on the other side and what he's been able to do is a cheat code with the offensive line.
We know that, like, defensively it was the defensive line, right? They had set a record for sacks in a single season by a team a couple of years ago. What is the strength of their defense now? What do they hang their hat on?
I tell you, this defense, and it feeds back into why this team is better, this defense is more complete. They're every level, they have somebody who can just dismantle you. And that's rare. And I think what you're seeing also is a balance of the youth infusement, right? And you can look at Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell in the secondary, and these guys have really stepped up as rookies and just played exceptionally well and fit right into what they've asked. And that helps when you've got young guys in the defensive backfield that are essentially stoppers, right? They're like centers, not Joel Embiid, another center in the NBA, right? That can actually protect the rim and give you an ability to take some risks. We've seen, I mean, Braun has reinvented his career in 1 year. The guy came to play special teams. He's a Pro Bowler. And, I mean, we have to talk Jalen Carter up front. This is a menace of a human being, and he is a disruptor. He is a massive disruptor, and he doesn't stop talking on top of that. So Vic Fangio has luxuries. He has the liberty to take some risks. Vic Fangio has some freedoms now because he's got all three levels of that defense really, I think, on an equal plane of being able to attack and dismantle depending on what they go up against.
I think last week was Jalen Hurts' best game of the season. What's the feeling in Philly around his play this year and, I guess, the confidence that he can take the load? Because we know 2 years ago, a lot of people believe he outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl despite losing.
Yeah, I think the fumble, right, is what people come back, right? They come back to, sorry. I think the fumble is what people come back to. And they say, well, that was the biggest difference between Mahomes and Hurts. Look, this is how much we care about the Super Bowl. I got a toddler in the background crying, and I'm on the interview here because this is what matters most.
What's the toddler mad about, you know? Maybe we can help.
Well, my 3.5-year-old kicked a chair, and it happened to hit him on the head. So he's fine. Everybody's fine. Everybody's fine. Don't worry. I think when you look at Jalen Hurts overall, and you look at this offense, this team can do so many special things that I think the overall impression and feel is don't make a mistake. And you know what? Sometimes that means taking a sack or three. Sometimes that means don't take a risk down to Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown. So I actually think you'll see a concerted effort for him to move the ball in the air. We talk Dallas Goedert would probably be an obvious target, Smith as well in the secondary. But I think you're going to see more of the same, which is let the guys make plays, don't force throws, and probably take a couple of sacks. I think the fumble is the biggest thing driving Jalen Hurts from two Super Bowls ago, because you're right, that was the difference. And I don't care who you are. You go up against LeBron, you go up against Mahomes, you go up against Brady, you go up against any Jeter, any GOAT, and you're that close. And now you get a shot again? How does that not stick with you? How does that not drive you?
So I think internally, like, people always ask the question, right? Does the three-peat become a distraction? Do you go for these things? It become bigger than that. Can that happen to Philly? Can it go the opposite way where they're just like, well, we got to take down this. We got to take down Goliath. And you can oversell yourselves. Like, can Sirianni or the team get themselves in trouble trying to win more than just a game, but instead stop a dynasty from being a three-peat?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, right? Like, I think this team has the history of being there 2 years ago. And I think that's where that might balance out enough of it. And I think that's a really good question. I don't disagree with it as far as it could happen. I think honestly, if they get undone, if they get beaten, if there's a loss at the end of the night, don't blame the refs. The Chiefs are just the better football team. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time, and I think settles that with what he's able to do. So I think, yeah, maybe they did get a little too ahead of themselves, and maybe it was the extra week, or maybe it was the fact that they really are buying into themselves too much and they didn't have that sense of humility that they did the first time around, at least with the offense, right? And they just lost because of bad defensive coaching. So I think there is some of it. And look, if that does happen, it's going to be obvious because Nick Sirianni is going to be undone. He can't, he's not a good poker player, fellas. He can't hide his emotions. And that's why he has Big Dom, the security, the chief of security, is basically babysitter, right? I mean, that was public reporting. So I think that's the issue, is your question is going to be answered on the body language of Nick Sirianni. If they're down 10-0, if they're down 13-0, if this is something where it's like, what's going on here? And he's undone, then absolutely. I think you go back to the fact that this was a moment that was simply too big for him, even though he was just here 2 years ago.
Before we let you go, Eitan, I know you got to run. You do great work also over at Odd Shopper. So give me from a Philly angle, give me the best Eagles bet that even in Kansas City we should be making.
Well, the best Eagles bet ever was the one that I gave out on April 29th, which was 17-1 to win the Super Bowl. But nobody can bet that
too
anymore.
Late.
So I tell you what, I'll have some fun with you guys. I'll give you a quick little parlay here. It's 20. It's a little over 23-1. This is the I like Kansas City to win parlay, same game parlay. You ready?
Let's hear it.
All right, under 110.5 Barkley rushing yards. It's dipped a little bit, but it hasn't dropped a ton. Over 55.5 Worthy receiving yards. Kareem Hunt anytime TD. Chiefs money line. Over 49.5 Goddard receiving yards. And then the kicker in here is over 9.5 Juju longest reception.
Ooh, the Juju. Okay, okay.
Just watch him in the AFC title game rip off a couple of those, I guess.
That's right. That's right. Look, okay, if you want just solo ones here, I think the two best ones that I like are Devontae Smith anytime TD. The Eagles are going to have a lot of opportunities, one-on-one coverage. Kellen Moore, I know he's gone, but he's going to be creative with Devontae, and I think they get him the ball quick, and there's going to be some deep threats there too. So he's a guy I take a look at as an anytime, and then Worthy to catch a pass in the Chiefs' first drive. Looking at script, Marquise Brown, yeah. I know they're trying to work him in, as you guys know, from a script standpoint. But what happens when stuff breaks down and you have to move away from the script? There may not be a better receiver when something breaks down than Worthy. And I also think, too, that there's a chance, you know, the run game and lack of, he could probably get a quick throw to him. So I like him to catch a pass in the first drive for the Chiefs.
Eitan Shander, Fox 29 in Philly, also with Odd Shopper. Appreciate it, man. Great to hear from you. I guess maybe we'll be doing this every couple of years the way it's working out now.
Let's hope.
There you go.
We got to just win one. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Eitan Shander, all our guests brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City's geared up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. I definitely, we typed that that parlay into the rundown. We might have to just throw a dollar or two on that thing.
Just see what happens?
Yeah. I agree with them on a couple of them. Like, the Juju one is very volatile, though, because...
That's tough.
But I think the Worthy one, we're like, I'm waiting for the Barkley number to keep getting bet higher and higher because I'm going to eventually take the under on the Barkley rushing yards. I'm waiting for it to creep
because
higher.
Because it's gone 14 straight games since they allowed even an 80 or 90 yard or 100 yard rusher, I guess it is.
Running back, right? Because
running
Lamar
back,
yeah. had over 100 in week one or whatever. But
yeah.
Appreciate Eitan. Good perspective from him on this Chiefs-Eagles matchup.
Like, I understand...
Sounds like, again, he has the Chiefs winning because he just told us a Chiefs money line bet. So I believe he has the Chiefs winning.
So his stance on they are better because they have a significantly better defensive coordinator. I'm actually not arguing that they have a significantly better defensive coordinator. As the text line points out, as we've talked about, the one problem with that is Vic Fangio as either a defensive coordinator or a head coach is winless.
Yeah, 8-0, man.
Against him. That man hadn't beaten him yet. And so there are some stats to support that actually Fangio's done better against Mahomes statistically than he does against most other coordinators, but it ain't resulting in wins. And so that part of it's always a challenge.
And like most stats, context is needed. When we brought up the stat last week or early this week, last week I guess it would have been, you know, Vic Fangio had Bridgewater and Locke as his quarterback in Denver, but still Fangio is not the defensive coordinator like Anarumo or Belichick that have shut him down for a half before. That's all I need to know. I'm not saying Vic Fangio is not a great defensive coordinator. He is. But if you were concerned going into the game Sunday that they're going to face a coordinator that's just going to shut him down, he's going to look terrible for a half. Two guys have done that. Belichick and Anarumo for one half. Not even every time, but one time Anarumo did it. Like, that's it. That's the list.
Yeah, and historically, and I'm going to give some stats later in the week. Historically, if it's number one defense versus elite level quarterback, what your defense ranks is unimportant. It is not a factor for how many points he's going to score. The Chiefs have faced other very good defenses in this year's postseason run, and they're scoring points. That isn't like holding them up. Hell, that Eagle, again, that Eagles defense 2 years ago, he can crash on, like, he can make fun of, like, their defensive coordinator at the time and Matt Patricia. That defense was like the number two scoring defense or number one scoring defense in the NFL in the year that they faced the Chiefs in the Super Bowl with the number one sack team in the NFL in the Super Bowl. And Mahomes still put up 38. What did he put up in that game? Something like that?
38-35 was the score. Yeah. 38-35 was the win for the Chiefs in Phoenix a couple years ago. We're expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in about 12 minutes or so right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. So yesterday, like it is every year during Radio Row and everything, on that Monday, Roger Goodell has his State of the League address press conference. And he had a variety of topics. He also was asked about the conspiracy theory stuff of the NFL rigging it for the Chiefs, and he kind of laughed it off. But he was discussing the 18-game NFL season that everybody assumes one day is going to happen. He says it's not on the table until the CBA talks begin, though. He said, quote, they do not expect to negotiate with the players union for an 18th game until CBA talks begin. He said that is more than he's more than just a few years away. That CBA, if you're wondering, doesn't expire until 2031. Now, can they still come up with another deal to start this earlier? Sure. But maybe we won't have it till 2031. And I don't know, like, what we expect this to do, because we recognize it's all driven by money. But at what point is it too many?
Is it negative to the league and nobody plays?
Yeah. Is the cutoff eight?
The quality of the games are so poor.
Is the cutoff 18 games? Is the cutoff 17 where we're already at? Is the cutoff one 25? Day 20 games? Yeah, like when does it reach a point where fans even are like, okay, this is really impacting the product? I think there are some people that already feel like it's there. Like, do I need an 18th game? No. Well, I watch, yes, and those are two different things, but I wonder.
I didn't need a 17th game.
Yeah, and so I think we know where this is trending. But they can take their time. Like, wait till 2031. That's fine with me. Like, you know what I mean? I don't need one less preseason game and an additional regular season game. It's not a fair trade. The NFLPA has got to try to get something more than just that. If they're going to agree to an 18th game, it can't just be like, well, we'll have you play one less preseason. That is not the same thing for the starters in this league. And I know the NFLPA represents everybody, not just the stars. But still, man, that's really tough to think that. That's a fair trade.
I borderline would ask for an advance. I think what I would ask for is an advance on what the cap is going to go up, knowing that this game will eventually bring in the additional revenue. So just go ahead and give us that money now. Not wait till the number goes up and then we renegotiate the next year. We'd like an advance on all this additional money you're going to do, or ask for additional money out of the streaming partners and these one-time sales out of the one-time sales out of Netflix or Peacock or Prime or anything else where they're stealing these one game here or there gold and everything else. And so, like, if I look at it, I got to get the world. I am not giving up that 18th game unless I get the world. Getting rid of one preseason game, I'm going to get it done. Like, I need more non-injury injury guarantees. I need more health care. Like, I mean, legitimate things that you might need. Like, you don't have to play 5 years in the league anymore to get health care for life. I play 3 years and you give me health care for life. I got to play two additional games from 5 years ago that I'm playing. No, I'm asking for the world if I'm then, because the NFL knows it's printing free money. Because you know what they're going to do with that 18th game, Gold? It's going to be sold to whatever streaming platform doesn't have a game right now. Hulu will be airing 18 games a year, one a week. Or whoever. You and I both know that. It'll be just a massive streaming platform.
Yeah, I think
and they'll put them more overseas. And so Wembley will be paying for it to this international markets or whatever.
The challenge with an 18th game as well, and someone mentions load management on the text line. And the challenge is, look what happened this year. Week 18, the Chiefs lost 38-0 because they rested everybody. And so how many years are we going to see that sequence play out? Like, it happened this year and doesn't happen every year, but it happened this year. If all of a sudden we have 18 games, so a week 19 would be a real thing. We'd have it sounds so weird to say. Week 19 of the NFL season.
The final
2 weeks, could we have multiple games where starters are playing half of a game or not a game at all? And again, it's already happening. The Chiefs just did it because they had everything locked up and it was the right decision for them. But from a product standpoint, does that hurt? It's tricky because we know people watch. It doesn't matter.
They don't care that the product gets worse.
It's just
still watch
at
it.
Some point, when does it actually cause people not to watch? There is a limit. I don't know what the answer is.
I don't think it's 18.
I don't think that is the case either. I'm hoping they wait till 2031 to do this. I don't think anybody should be in any rush. Frankly, also during the run the Chiefs are on, drag. I don't want an 18th game. I don't want an 18th game in the middle of the run that they're having. You know what I mean?
Also,
like, makes it even more challenging.
Well, and the other part of it is, are you moving up the NFL season? Because like,
no, they're going to just cut out one preseason game. So I guess it would be, yeah.
Yeah, but do you move up? Yeah. I actually don't think. I think they'll just start the regular season at the same time, create the double bye, and we'll get what we've all been asking for, which is President's Day, which is a holiday for some people, will be the day off. Now, I'll have to work it versus maybe not.
The day after the Super Bowl.
Right now.
People want it to be a national holiday, yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of other people will be able to do it. I just
actually,
like,
the only reason I'll push back on
that. At least if you're a season ticket holder for a team, you're getting your money's worth more, because they make you pay full damn price as a season ticket member for that preseason game. At least that's what you get a regular season one.
The only thing I'd push back on the timeline is, let's remember, if they do this, they might do the double bye. So that I have no idea how the calendar would work if they did that, in terms of, do they have to move it up? Do they not have to move it up?
Do they just get more teams on bye? I think you'd figure it out.
No. But if you're having two byes, I wonder if you have to push the schedule back even further a week, though.
Oh, I would think just the week would do it, based on it'd be more teams on bye depending on the week. Boy, a lot harder surviving guillotine fantasy football. They don't care about that. It's all the money.
What about the survivor contest, man? This would screw it all up even more. How are we going to do this?
I wasn't winning when it was 18 weeks,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Sure as hell wasn't going to win it when it's 19. You and I, you know what? We're as a show or something.
We're doing it next year at Circa.
I think we get in the Circa one, yeah. Even if it's got to be a small group.
Yeah.
There were people over on Twitch last year that were all willing. I think we could have, like, I want like a, but I need it to be an odd number. I need the majority vote to be, if it's Pick'em, how many, or not Pick'em, I want to do Survivor.
Yeah.
If we do Survivor, we, you know,
$1,000 entry. It's $1,000 entry. The reason why I'm more interested in it next year, I found that there's now a new website and it's legal. You can actually list your Survivor entry, and whether you're in Vegas or not, you can sell shares of it. So let's say we're lucky enough to make it 5 weeks in. That entry could have an implied value of like $7,000. We could sell 1% shares.
Trying to get part of our money back?
That's what happened this year for people that won. The final entries that won, 7 or 8 people won, there were 17 people that got a share of the, what was it? 1.7 million or something each share got. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation, but I'm with you. I'm on board. You know that. Up next, we continue our big game coverage. We're expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.